Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on a Tuesday morning in the summer. And you know what time it is. It's time for the Garden Line with my good friend Mike Wiggins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's amazing, Meg, that every June,
yes,
Sly Stone shows up in the studio.
He does, just for us.
And opens our show because it is summertime.
Temperatures
are sneaking into the 90s.
Yeah, hot fun.
Hot fun in the summertime in Pensacola, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So we appreciate Sly showing up. And
thanks, Sly. We'll see you next time.
See you next June. Exactly. But, Meg, it is so good to have you back.
Aww.
Feeling better.
Yes. Well, there's some serious crud going around. I keep warning everybody.
There's no question about it. I have other friends that are just like you, you know, who've suffered from that.
Well, I'm in denial. I am a person that's, when they say I'm sick, I go, no, I'm not sick. I'm going to show up anyway. I'm one of those people that gets on your nerves.
Yeah. Everybody else says, you're sick.
No.
You're sick. Go home.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I missed you. I missed everybody. And I know that it's been a lot going on. This is the peak time for gardening. A lot is happening. So I can't wait to get caught up on everything today.
Absolutely. We, last week we talked gardening, had some great calls, texts, if you will. And I appreciate that.
Oh, good.
And so I figure we can kind of proceed on today about what to do.
Yeah.
In the summertime.
Well, we had a little bit of rain anyway in some places.
We have, but you know what, Meg? It's not enough.
Right.
I think if you listen to the weather folks, they'll tell you we are still in a drought situation. Maybe not at the serious level that it was, but we still are.
Right.
And so we just cannot ignore watering. I know the folks who listen to our show get sick and tired of us saying this, but you got to get out and water that lawn. Like we always say, and we've said it last time, we said it every time, three times a week, if you will, about 30 minutes early in the morning, and that's what you need to do. Now, if it rains, like it's supposed to do, end of the week, then just cut it off or cut off the sprinkler, whatever you have to do. But you just don't want to lose all of the things that you've planted and worked on, and it looked great. And as we go into summer, just simply because we neglected watering. And one of my things I always like to preach on is that those container plants will dry out first. That's where you've really got to concentrate your water. I have a bush daisy, I think I've mentioned
to you. Yes, you have.
And it's great. But it's my signal plant. It's the first one.
Oh,
it's my first plant in the container to kind of show the effects of needing water.
Okay.
So when the bush daisy needs water, I'm assuming everybody else needs water. So time to turn on the hose and get out there and do a little watering.
So that's your signal plant.
No, exactly. So everybody, you know, we need to be very cognizant of the fact that water is the key. And this is Pensacola. We are in a sandy soil. The water and the nutrients kind of just flow through the sand. And it's great because St. Augustine grass and zoysia grass and even centipede will grow great on that sandy soil.
Right.
Some of my best customers over the years were on the beach who grew great St. Augustine grass, but they watered all the time.
I would say, especially on the beach, I would imagine.
That's exactly right. But the point is, what we're trying to do is protect our investment. And, of course, if you look at your checkbook, you'll know that landscaping nowadays, putting in annuals, even a vegetable garden, is not inexpensive.
So you want to make it count, right?
So you got to make it count, and you got to work at it to keep it healthy so it looks good as we get into the middle of the summer and to, you know, July and August when it gets so hot, and then carries us into fall.
Well, remember, human beings need to be watered, too.
Every day. Very well said.
Seriously, because
hydrate. No question about that. And if we're going to go that far, if we're talking about humans, if you're out there spraying, say you're spraying your roses with a fungicide, or spraying for insects, you know, long pants, long sleeve shirt. A mask.
We
all have our masks, left over, gloves. and just protect yourself. But many of these chemicals are very good. They do what they say they're going to do. They're approved.
Right.
It's not something that, you know, is outlawed or restricted. But you need not to get that all over you.
Yeah.
And
not
of course, there's stories about people in California. I don't know why I was in California, but I've got in trouble with Roundup. I mean, you know, we've talked about that. That's off the market now.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new formulation.
They've made some changes.
But the guy that really got in trouble was a guy that was spraying trees, spraying way up in the trees, and all that was just coming right down.
Raining down on him.
Sure. So that could affect us, too,
mm-hmm.
because we do have large shrubbery that sometimes needs spraying. A lot of folks will spray for scale on hollies. And, you know, the hollies can grow very tall.
Uh-huh.
So just be careful.
Okay.
And, of course, finally, if we're going to do this topic, read the label. Read that.
What?
I know. That's
Dude,
no
what?
Fun. That's no fun.
That takes time.
It does.
And I need
time.
My glasses.
And it's boring. But read the label. Because, like I said, you got some things, like for lawn grasses, it'll say, it'll do this. And we say, that is great. I'm going to go do it. And at the very end, it'll say, do not use on St. Augustine grass.
Oops.
So read that label. It's important.
Well, if you just joined us this morning, it is Tuesday morning. It's the Garden Line. Mike Wiggins is here. And we love hearing from our listeners and fellow gardeners on listening in this morning. So just text in at 850-437-1620. We've already got some texts coming in this morning, Mike.
Well, great.
So hey, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say one thing we need to do, not need to do, one thing we might want to do later in the show if we have time. Last week, we kind of started on our checklist for summer. But our texts are much more important than me reading a list.
Okay, all right.
So let's see what's going on.
Okay, well, this first one that came in, first thing this morning says, from Michael, can you ask Mike what might be causing my palm branches turning brown on the outer edges? This is the first year that this has happened, and they've been in place for 8 years, thanks. And he sent a picture, and you can see these big, beautiful palms, but the edges are all kind of brown. I've seen that a lot around here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And palms will sometimes get diseases, if you will.
Oh.
But I've always said, if you have a plant, and we'll just take a palm, for example,
mm-hmm.
and the edges are brown.
Right.
Generally, that's environmental. If it's a disease, it's usually on the internal part of the palm frond or the leaf or whatever plant we're dealing with. So I would look first at environmental here. We went through some real dry periods.
Mm-hmm.
We did. And so it easily could simply be not enough water. I know we've, you know, a lot of times when we don't know the answer, we'll make one up that says you didn't water enough. But that's not always true. But if it is brown on the edges,
mm-hmm.
be very careful that it's irrigated enough.
He sent in a great picture, so have you take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll do that. It's a break. I'll come over here and take a look at it.
And we do need to take a quick break already.
Well, let's do it.
So we're going to take
it.
A quick break. We'll be back. This is the Garden Line. If you've got any gardening questions, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. And we were, we were just talking about our friend who has the palm trees in his yard, and he was asking about what to do for the brown edges. So Mike had a chance during the break, and he sent in a gorgeous picture. They're huge palms.
They are huge.
Right by the pool. They're beautiful.
Native palms, too.
Yeah.
These are palms that do very well here. I would say a couple of things. Some judicious pruning might just go ahead and just prune those out, and that probably would solve the problem. Also, you have to ask yourself, is there any spraying going on either in his yard or even neighbor's yard, like a Roundup, if you will. Maybe it is some type of chemical burn. I'm just guessing, because you look at the picture, it really is. It's a grove, if you will, of palm trees that have all browned out on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
So water is important. Maybe the drought had something to do with it. Could be spray. What I would do to get a definitive opinion on that is cut two or three of them off, take them up to Beth Bowles at the county agent, and see what they do, have to say about that. But the chemical burn and the lack of water kind of come to mind to me.
Right. Okay. So probably prune to start is what you were saying?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. You're probably going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have a windmill palm that sometimes will do kind of the same thing if I let it dry out too much. I kind of dry it out. So the palm fronds, if you will, are sort of at a 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Unfortunately, our listeners can't see the hand signals here.
They can't?
He's doing this whole beautiful description with his hands up in the air. And I'm like,
I thought we were on TV too.
We need to get a video in the studio for sure. He was doing the 6-7 move there, you know.
The 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Yes,
o'clock. Okay, anyway, you get the point.
Yes, well, you got it. Okay. Thanks, Mike, for sending that in. And let us
know what you decide to do if it works. Well, what's going on here?
Okay, 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line. We're going to be here for an hour, so to get those texts in so Mike can help you out with your gardening needs. And, yes, sir.
I do have one more thing to add to the palm deal. There used to be, and maybe it's still in effect, a palm society in Pensacola, an organization that got together with the sole subject matter of palm trees. I would ask, maybe if you are talking to Beth Bowles up at the county agent, to see if that organization is still around. We might get some type of help from them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Anyway, I just know they were very, very active years ago. I just don't know if they still are.
Well, if they're listening this morning, let us know
Please,
how we can contact you.
Absolutely.
Okay, 850-437-1620. Got a beautiful picture sent in, a text from David and Catherine, and they said that their Texas star hibiscus has given them double blooms for the first time. They sent in a picture, y'all, and it's these beautiful, big, white blooms.
Absolutely. It's so different. Wow. So different than what a tropical hibiscus would look like. But if anybody can do it,
Catherine can
do it. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
Exactly.
Okay, got another one in this morning. Mike, what is the best time to transplant camellias? Large ones. This is Chester in East Hill. Thanks, Mike. I listened to you for years now.
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I want to do it in the cooler weather, no doubt about it. If you're moving a camellia, let's put it this way, it's so different than moving an azalea. I say that because the roots of that camellia are very, very strong, very much deeper than, say, an azalea or maybe even some of your hollies.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be very careful when you do transplant it. I would really go to, you know, what we've said many times for like dormant plants. Now, the camellia doesn't lose its leaves. It's not deciduous. It doesn't go dormant. But on the rainiest, coldest day in February might be a good time to do it. Yeah, you just don't, because if you dig up that camellia to move it from point A to point B, especially if it's a larger one, you're probably going to go through some plant shock.
Oh.
So not only do you have the plant shock, but in the winter, when it's just in a no-growth situation, you have less of that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this is, I think, so important. If you're going to move that camellia, dig that second hole before you dig up the camellia.
Planning ahead.
Planning ahead. Yeah. Something that we have a little trouble with here on the Garden
that
Line.
Sounds
sometimes.
Like a Meg move to me. So, oops, where am I going to put it?
Exactly. You know, have that hole ready. You know, and have some Canadian sphagnum peat moss ready, and mix it all up. But don't put a bunch of fertilizer in the hole. That probably wouldn't help at all. And get ready to move it. And of course, plant it at the exact same level in the ground that it was where it was planted before.
Really? That's interesting.
I mean, you don't want it sitting up or planting it deeper. No.
Huh.
You want to plant at the exact same level. And then I always say this, if you're going to, camellias, I'm glad we're talking about camellias. In my opinion, don't rely on the sprinkler system to get enough water on it. Take that hose, drag it out there, and let it just dribble on that newly planted camellia, oh my goodness, for maybe an hour or so,
really?
A couple times a week, and really get that water to go down deep. But that's kind of my opinion on that. I know I've found that moving camellias sometimes is not as easy as moving other plants.
Okay, great advice and a great question. And we got a response from Mike, who's talking. We were talking with him about his palms. He says, thank you. No chemicals that I've used, and I'm not sure about the aware of any neighbors using chemicals either, but I'll check with Beth. So thanks again.
Yeah, and Michael, let us know. Let us know what she says, because that's interesting. A lot of palm trees have had, I think there's a disease called palm yellowing.
Oh.
I don't see any evidence of that on these pictures, but that's one that has affected palms throughout the state.
Huh.
And so I think Beth can send him in the right direction.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a few minutes with the Garden Line. Time to get your texts in this morning at 850-437-1620. Mike Wiggins, our gardening expert, is here. He's got all the answers. So text him in. Take advantage of this expert on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Mike Wiggins is here, 850-437-1620. Send in your texts about gardening, watering, the lawn, the landscape, flowers, potted plants, anything that you're kind of taking care of now this summer as we get into the real gardening season, I guess you would call it. Right, Mike?
Oh, no doubt about it. And it's we get to summertime, and as we mentioned at our opening, sometimes it's just protecting what you've got.
Right.
I mean, so many people have got it all done, all planted.
Beautiful. I've seen
vegetable garden is all
flowers
just, producing, and it's great. But you got to protect it from, from drought, or even too much wind and rain and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
The environment really dictates what happens to your garden and all your flowers and turf and that type of thing. Okay, here we go.
So you've got a list for us.
I have a list. Yeah, I don't like reading lists, so I'm just going to kind of fake it here. Okay. Oh, number one, and we talked about this last week, so I won't dwell on it. But number one is to fertilize your blooming plants with a granular or liquid fertilizer. Not a bad idea. Maybe every roses, for example, like to have that fertilizer every 30 days, and they like a granular when you first fertilize them in the spring. And a lot of the experts will say after that, do a liquid, like a Miracle-Gro.
Oh.
Use a liquid for the other fertilizations during the season. So that's a good advice. You got to be careful. You got to be careful because you don't want to overdo it. I'm going to talk about azaleas, for example. Right at spring, and many people have already done this, we fertilize with a granular. The azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer is the best, doing that tight handful for every foot of height. Well, for a lot of your basic shrubs, that's probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't really need to do anything. Maybe a midsummer fertilization, but if everything's looking good, you can let it go and then let's move into our winterizer-type fertilizers in the fall. But you do need to fertilize them if they're going to stay healthy and continue to produce and bloom. And so you need to do that. So that's number one. Number two, this one we could do a seminar on. You ready? No seminar today.
That's the cue for the end of this first half.
That's right.
Hold that thought. Number two.
Now I'll hold that thought.
Okay, we've got a couple more texts coming in, and if you've got questions, plenty of time left. Another half hour with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins. Those text numbers, 850-437-1620. We will be back right after the news to fill you in with some more ideas on how to keep your garden looking great this summer. With Mike Wiggins, the Garden Line, on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Meg, and I am here with your host for the Garden Line, Mike Wiggins. Getting lots of texts in, so it's easy to do. Just text in a gardening question or something that's on your mind at 850-437-1620. Earlier, Mike, we were talking with Catherine, and she was telling us about her beautiful hibiscus and some of the other things. And her sister sent in a text, which I thought was really sweet. Should I read it to you?
Oh, of course.
Okay, this is Mike and Meg. This is Catherine's older sister. Catherine comes by it honestly, her gardening talents, I think she's referencing. Our mother, Nancy, could root a popsicle stick. That's so good. That's, I cannot. But
we need Nancy here.
Yes, for sure. And she says, and I have some very fond memories of going to Farmer's Supply with Mom. Great show. Yeah,
what a nice thing to say.
Very sweet.
So nice. Well, Catherine and her family, obviously, are great gardeners.
Clearly, so we appreciate that.
And we appreciate their participation here with us.
There you go.
Yeah,
well,
great,
right before the news, you were giving us, going down the list, and we were at number two. So if someone's sitting there with their pencil and they're ready.
This is the seminar.
Yes, we're in the number two on the checklist here.
All right, and we talked a little bit about this last week, so I don't want to repeat myself. But this is this time of year, this is so important. Check your plants and lawns daily for insects and disease.
Ooh.
We'll just go to a couple of insects that I think are important. One is scale. It'll happen on sago palms. Mm-hmm. It'll happen a lot on hollies, ligustrum, which is when you turn the leaf over, it's got a lot of little white specks on it.
I've seen those.
And those white specks are insects that are literally sucking the juices out of that leaf. And what happens when they do that, take out of that leaf turns into what they call it's a substance that will cover the leaf, and then as the sun gets on the leaf, mm-hmm. it can't get on the plant. So in any event, it can really damage, if not kill, a plant. So you've got to control that. The ultrafine oil is a great way to do it. It's organic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dangerous. Now, I wanted to kind of shy away from it when we get into the 90s. But if you're in the low 80s, you could probably go ahead and do it, which will help spray that scale. And what it does, it smothers it, and it kills it. And so, anyway, scale is something, one insect you've really got to be look for, and you have to kind of turn that leaf over to look at it. So the key word here is daily. Mm-hmm. Go out and kind of check your plants every day. And then we have in the lawn that great disease that Meg is such an expert on, the old favorite Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus.
Oh, stop it.
I love it when you talk garden. Well, what that has done is drive a lot of the St. Augustine business mm-hmm. into the zoysia grass business, because St. Augustine will get that disease. It forms itself in a big circle, and it has a little brown, burnt brown look around the edges, and very hard to control.
Well, we have a text that's on related topic here as we're talking about things on the leaves. Our listener says, I have a rhododendron that I planted in the spring. I planted it underneath a cedar tree, and after all of this rain, I have developed brown spots on a lot of the leaves. It almost looks like rust on them. Any suggestions?
Well, rust is a kind of a formal name of a type of fungus, yes.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And remember now.
And this is a rhododendron they're talking about.
Yeah, which are hard to grow here.
A rhododendron is not
easy to grow. But remember we talked about on that palm tree earlier where the outer areas of the leaf
were kind of browning a little bit. Yeah.
But this is on the internal part of the leaf,
mm-hmm.
which means it is a fungus. Now, sometimes some people just look at the leaf spots and live with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to control, and many times it's not going to destroy your plant. But you could spray it with a general plant fungicide. You need to do it a couple of times. You need to do it if it's not going to rain, and you don't want to water it for a couple of days after you spray it. That would be what I would do. But that rhododendron is not easy to grow here in Pensacola, but those spots on there are very common. Hmm. And we get them on other plants, too. Some people call them pig eye.
Oh.
Because many times if you look at it very closely, it's a two-colored spot.
Huh.
It has a different color in the center. But very common, and a lot of people will, quite frankly, ignore it.
Okay, the listener just responded to what you said by saying, I have sprayed it with neem oil.
Good, neem oil. That's
neem
good.
Neem oil, okay.
Neem oil is interesting. It's a product that comes from trees.
Oh.
Some trees.
Interesting.
Yes. Anemones. Very organic.
Mm-hmm.
Very organic. Very safe. So good. They've done the right thing. However, I'm not totally sure it's going to
totally eradicate.
Well, nothing's going to eradicate the spots.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is to keep from getting new damage to your plant.
So you do call that rust, though?
Rust, yes.
Interesting. So that makes me think of, and I'm hearing so much about it this year, I'm not sure why, or maybe I'm just paying attention to it, mold seems to be the hot topic this year. I don't know, but do you get mold on plants, too?
Well, remember we were talking a minute ago about mm-hmm. The scale?
Right.
Is that a form of
mold?
It's kind of a black, sooty mold.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that is affecting roses.
Oh.
It always has, is that black, sooty mold
mm-hmm.
Along with powdery mildew. And that's why you spray your roses with a fungicide.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, 850-437-1620. Send in your text. We'd love to talk to you. Mike's got all the answers on the garden lines.
Well,
he's our expert.
We have all the answers. They're not always right, but we try.
I don't know about that.
We
try. I don't know about that. Okay, we've got a list we're going through.
Yeah, here we go.
Number three.
All right, and this, we've talked about this. We can just hit this quick. Spray your roses once a week. Well, for black spot and mildew. There we go.
Okay.
This one does take some explanation. Fertilize your St. Augustine grass in midsummer.
Well, we're in the beginning of the summer. We're almost at mid.
But that's fine. July would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine grass really likes that midsummer kick. And it likes the nitrogen. Remember the fertilizer has three numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got nitrogen, phosphate, and potash. Nitrogen is what's important. So you can use a relatively high-powered nitrogen, maybe let's say 20-something percent, maybe a little bit more of nitrogen. That's the first number
mm-hmm.
in the fertilizer. Remember we used a 16-4-8 in the spring? Well, you can go a little higher on that first number for this midsummer St. Augustine. Now, if you do that, I would not do it if we've been in a prolonged drought.
Oh, okay.
If we have had normal rain and you have been able to water, I certainly would go ahead and do that for your St. Augustine, probably at the end of June, even 1st of July.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the key. If you have centipede grass, it does not want that at all.
Oh.
No. Centipede, if it looks like it's just kind of washed out and kind of a light green, if you wanted to green it up a little bit, I would use an organic material like milorganite. Milorganite is a product of the city of Milwaukee sewage system.
Really?
It's been in the business for decades. It's a good organic centipede fertilizer midsummer. Now, there's a lot of people will say, we don't even need it for centipede. Don't even do it. Don't do it. Wait till September and put the winterizer fertilizer on it. So St. Augustine, yes, we want to fertilize it in the midsummer. Centipede, not so much. Zoysia, you can kind of treat it like you do the St. Augustine
mm-hmm.
and do a little midsummer kick there. But it really will make a difference.
Okay.
It really will make a difference.
We've got another text in from our listener that was talking about the Nema oil that they were using.
Yes.
And so I actually have that mold I think you're talking about on one of my orchids. All of these stems seem to have black stuff on them. Is there something that can take that off, and what am I doing wrong? The next text that came in right after that has a solution. So this listener says, using one part hydrogen peroxide and then 9 parts water spray, I spray my plants at night with a mister once a week or every 3 days, and it fights the powdery mildew.
There you go.
So I guess one part hydrogen peroxide,
I've never done that. But
interesting.
That's,
so you spray it and then that takes care of it? Okay.
Exactly. That sounds reasonable.
So we have an extra expert this morning. One of our listeners.
I wish they were sitting right here. Answer some of these.
Thank you for sending that in.
Exactly.
That sounds very inexpensive and easy to do.
It certainly does. That's a great idea. Growing orchids is
a whole
kind
another,
of a different ballgame.
It really is.
But so good. Yeah, and a little fungicide on an orchid would not be out of line
mm-hmm.
If you've got some of the black mildew.
I think that hydrogen peroxide thing is a good thing to try.
Why not? Now, whenever it comes to these, what I would call home remedies,
mm-hmm.
experiment first. Don't do, if you've got a whole room full of orchids. Don't do them all.
Oh, just try
one. Do one to be sure. One, you've got your mixture right. And two, just be sure that that particular product is not going to damage your plant.
Okay, 850-437-1620. It's the Garden Line. Text in your questions. Got a few minutes left. We'll be back with Pep Talk in just a minute. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your gardening questions. 850-437-1620. Going down our checklist this morning.
We are. We're almost done here, too, on this checklist. This one is easy. Follow the proper watering and mowing methods.
What would those be? I like the proper ones. I don't know what the proper one is. That's why I listen to you.
What would be an improper? Well, no, there are some improper ways to do it.
I'm sure I would find one of them.
Okay. Let's just real quick. We hit the mowing, and we all know that.
Okay.
4 inches for St. Augustine, 3 for centipede, 2 for zoysia. Or the type of zoysia you have, you may be able to go a little bit lower, but you need to check the variety that you've got and the mowing recommendation. Our friends at Werner Turf sell a lot of that zoysia grass, so they can tell you which variety is available and exactly how to mow it. But do that. Sharpen that lawnmower blade. Never cut off more than 1/3 of a blade of grass when you're mowing. In other words, if you go out of town for 2 weeks, vacation, get the next-door teenager to mow it. But do not let him scalp it.
Oh, right.
Just stress it to him that he's got to mow it at the level where you've set. I have always said, set that lawnmower for the height of your grass.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine, set it at 4 inches and never, ever change it.
Okay.
You never want to mow it closer in the spring or closer in the fall. Every time, mow it the same level. And your grass, and many times, it will choke out the weeds because that helps it get much thicker
and healthier.
More lush. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's really very, very important. And the watering, we talked about that a minute ago. We just need to water. Keep in mind that just because it rained last weekend doesn't mean that you can stop the water for a week or so. You've got to pay attention to that water because that's what's going to keep everything alive.
Right.
Keep it blooming. We looked at Catherine's yard a minute ago, that centipede lawn.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like a golf course.
It looked like
the Masters.
The Masters in Augusta.
Right.
And I can guarantee you that Catherine is on a watering schedule that keeps it looking that way.
Okay, well, we've got a question from one of our listeners, and we still have time if you want to text in at 850-437-1620. What can you do about torpedo grass in St. Augustine?
That's an easy answer. Move. That is the hardest weed to control.
Really?
If you dig up torpedo grass, the root system looks like a bowl of pasta.
Really?
A bowl of spaghetti.
What does it look like? What does torpedo grass look like?
It's got a thick stem to it, and it's got little seed pods, if you will, on the top of it.
Oh, I've seen that.
But it is so hard to control. I don't believe, really, that many of your what we call selective weed killers, you know, they kill dollar weed and Virginia buttonweed and that type of thing, are really going to control torpedo grass.
Interesting.
I think what you may have to do, and this is radical surgery, if you will, is use a product like Roundup. Keeping in mind that formulation has changed. And there are new products out there, too, now that will kill everything but will not sterilize the soil. You may have to do that. And then wherever that torpedo grass is, then you just resod. And if it's the whole, hopefully it's not the whole yard.
Yeah.
But if it's in a localized place, you can, you know, go ahead and treat that area with that herbicide and then probably just do a little resodding or replugging or whatever you have to do. It's tough to kill, and I wish there was an easy way. If somebody listening has got the solution to torpedo grass,
please share it and just
know.
Text it in.
Let us know.
850-437-1620.
Maybe that hydrogen peroxide we had a minute ago.
There you go.
You never know. But the point is, it is tough. It is tough. And you may need to kill everything in that area. And many times, if you're doing that and you sprayed the torpedo grass and killed what's sitting up looking at you, just leave that area alone. And then if you had more come back up, when it's really young, then you could spray it again, maybe twice, and then do your resodding, reseeding, or whatever you're going to do. But it's a tough one.
Tough question.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're looking for a solution here.
Okay. 850-437-1620. We've got to get our research department on it. They've been slacking lately. Are they at the beach or something?
I think they're asleep in there. I'm not sure what they're doing.
What's going on with that research department?
Exactly. Okay. So, but anyway, yeah, that's a great question. It's a Pensacola question because so many people do have problems with torpedo grass. It's different. There are different weeds that are tough. Sedges are tough. Nut sedge is tough. But there is a product called Image that will help with that.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that? I-M-A-G-E?
I-M-A-G-E.
Okay.
Image. And if you have that, if you have a nut sedge, dig one out of the ground and take that stem and put it between your thumb and forefinger, and you'll find it's in a triangular shape. The stem is a triangular-shaped stem, then you know you've got sedges, nut sedge, and they're different type of sedges. Those are tough, too, but that product Image will help. But I don't think you're going to get much results with the torpedo grass.
Okay. We're talking with Mike Wiggins. He is our expert on the garden line here every Tuesday at this time, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back with the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Just a couple minutes left. Mike, anything you want to touch on before we go?
Well, just two quick things. One, when we're dealing with weather that is dry.
Right.
Mulching our plants is important. I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer. We love pine straw.
Mm-hmm.
Our new friend Lucky's Pine Straw over there on Davis
is
there. They sell some real nice fresh straw. And just if you'll mulch your plants with that, that's going to hold that moisture in a little, and it's going to, that doesn't mean you have to stop your watering, but it certainly is going to keep that moisture in to keep that plant healthy in our hot, dry weather. And talking about weather, we talked about this last week, but it stands repeating. We're in hurricane season now.
Yes, we are.
And it's a good time to look at that live oak you've got and maybe some of the other trees to say, if I hadn't had them pruned in a while, if I hadn't had them thinned out in a while, it may be time for that. Because as we've always said here on the Garden Line, you've got this beautiful live oak, and here comes a tropical storm, and that tree acts like a sail on a sailboat, catches the wind, and therein lies the damage. But these tree surgeons in Pensacola are so good, they can get up there and thin it out so the wind goes through the tree. But yet, when you look at the tree, you don't really see where it's been pruned or damaged. You know, not like some of the folks that when they, with the utilities that come through and just whack, off limbs. No, they can do it in a very professional way.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to probably look at that.
Now's the time to do it.
No,
sure.
Now is the time, and I'm sure they're busy because a lot of people are very cognizant of the fact that it's hurricane season, and we have to make preparations. And we need to make all our other preparations, too.
That's right.
Now, what do we do if we've got all these container plants, and we've got patio chairs, and we've got all this stuff that we use in our gardening? Then we have got to be ready to go. Have your plan ready and go for it. Talk about planning.
Yes.
Who plans better for sports in Pensacola? Who does that? Who does that? Is his name Ray Palmer?
I think it is.
I sure would like to hear him on the radio. We've got to do that.
What? In the next 5 minutes,
no.
You can hear Ray Palmer from Pensacola Sports coming in.
Say it isn't so.
I just walked in the
studio.
I'll be listening. This has been The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
Thanks, Meg.
It again on Saturday mornings and check it out on our page at newsradio923.com.
Meg, you're the best.
Mike, you're the best.
Okay, see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.